Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and tonight, we are having our very own Isaac Rosa. So if you guys want to help me welcome Isaac Rosa. Are you guys turning to your Bibles in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I am going to go ahead and read the passage, and then after I read the passage, I will pray, and then we will get after it, okay? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences in ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one of the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, and we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. This is God's word. Let's go ahead and ask for his help. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that you have chosen to revere yourself in your word. Father, help me to preach and teach tonight in such a way that is consistent with your character, and Lord, and faithful to your text. Holy Spirit, minister to us in ways that only you can. And Father, I pray that we just fall more in love with you, Holy Spirit. That we really get a grasp on how good it is to receive gifts from you. And Father, and that for those of us that are in Christ in this room, that you have placed us in a place and you've given us talents for us to live life for you. And so, Holy Spirit, may you reveal those things to us here tonight. And Lord, show us where we lack and show us where we need to grow in our faith with you. Help us, Holy Spirit. We need you. And in your name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. So it's always a little embarrassing when people find out I'm Brazilian, because immediately, what do you guys think they associate me with? Yeah, right, that I'm like Pele, that I can just ball it up in any, like if there's a ball, that I'm really good at it. And to their dismay, I'm not very good at soccer. And I found that out in high school. I was good enough to make varsity, but really never got to see the field. I rode the bench a lot. And for those of you guys that know me, the competitive side of me would always want to come out, and it just tore me apart, the fact that I was not able to participate. And so it was a miserable thing to sit out. It was a miserable thing to ride pine, and it was pretty miserable to be left out and not be part of that game. Guys, unfortunately, this is the reality for many Christians of us today. It is a miserable thing to live life sitting on the bench, not involved in the great work that God has called all Christians to do. all Christians to be a part in. And so, not to single you out, but can you raise your hand if you're a Christian in here today? Can I see the hands of everyone? For those of you guys that haven't professed Christ, I'm not going to call you out right now. But okay, so there's a lot of us, probably 95% of us in here. So let me give you your job description right now. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the age." If you're a Christian in here tonight and you are not about the furthering work of God's kingdom, you are sitting on the bench spiritually. You are not actively participating in the work that God has called you and the work that God has called me to be a part in. And so by way of background to this letter, I want us to look at how this letter was structured, because we're in chapter 12. It's going to be impossible for me to give you guys a background on all 12 chapters. And so by the way this book is structured, it tells us a lot about the background. And so by the way this letter was written, the first six chapters are pretty much, it's a report from Chloe's household. It was a report, pretty much, it was someone that met up with Paul in Ephesus and pretty much was tattletelling on the Corinthian church. They're saying, "Hey man, they are just doing a bunch of funky stuff. You need to go over there and correct some of that stuff." And so that's where you see chapters 1 through 6 is kind of the corrective, saying, "Hey, like, from what I've heard, from what from the people from Chloe's household has been telling me, it's like, you guys have got a bunch of issues." And so hence a lot of the strong words you see in the first six chapters. Now, in the second, and this is kind of where I want you guys to pay attention to, because I'm going to allude to this at the end of our time together, is that chapters 7 to 16 is Paul's response to the Corinthians' letter. You see, a couple of years before Paul actually wrote this, the Corinthians had written Paul a letter asking his advice on certain things. So whenever you see in the text, "Now concerning," Paul say, "Now concerning marriage," and then he goes off on marriage. "Now concerning divorce," and then he goes off on divorce. And in our case, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," Paul is listing off the things that they asked for his opinion on, or they asked for him to help the Corinthian church out, because they knew they weren't getting it right. And so this is crucial, okay, because I'm going to come back to this at the end of our time today. So chapter 7 through 16 is Paul's response to the Corinthians' letter. And so as we look at this text, I want us to also write down and be paying attention to the answer of both of these questions. And so if you're not used to taking notes in church, I ask you, please take notes tonight. It's going to be very, very important, because in dealing with the Holy Spirit and in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in some cases in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to let TBN or YouTube dictate on our doctrinal stance on what the Holy Spirit is, right? Because a lot of us can know, oh, the moving of the Holy Spirit. Or when you hear that phrase, what do we think of? Before reading my Bible, I thought of TBN and of YouTube. And if any of you guys have been on TBN on YouTube, it's just not good. Not good at all. So again, I want you guys to be writing down, be paying attention to the answer to both of these questions. Is first, what's the big deal about spiritual gifts? Why is Paul taking the time to write this down? And then secondly, what does this text here in 2 Corinthians or in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tell us about God? So what's the big deal about spiritual gifts, and what does this text tell me about God? And so let's go ahead and get right into the text in verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And so there's three things here that I want us to pay attention to, right? Do you guys remember the "now concerning" part? So this is now the beginning. This is Paul kind of saying, "Hey, so now concerning the stuff that you guys had asked me about spiritual gifts, this is what I have to say about it." And then second, brethren. And it's very important to notice is that Paul, you guys see Paul's like pastoral heart. Whenever you see Paul call people brethren or mention, really in most of his epistles, he starts off with almost assimilating with the people he's writing to. So Paul doesn't come off at them as a holier-than-thou attitude. Instead, he communicates as a member of the family speaking from a place of love and zeal for the truth. And then thirdly, spiritual gifts, right? That's kind of what we're going to be dealing with here tonight is what spiritual gifts. And so since it is a gift, I think it's very, very important for us to know the giver of those good gifts. And so that's why in a matter of a minute or two, I want to give you guys a crash course on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, hence why you guys have your pieces of paper, because I'm going to go through these really fast. And for the sake of the people listening on the podcast, they'll know the references and they can go back and listen to for that. And so the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a human, but he is a personality. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity. And in the Bible, he is given attributes of a personality. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13, we learn that he is intelligent. He is the very intelligence of God. 1 Corinthians 12, 11 and Acts 15, 28, he has a will and plan for our lives. Ephesians 4, 30, he has emotion, meaning he can be grieved. James 4, 5, he yearns jealously for us. Romans 15, 30, the love of the Spirit is manifested there, meaning he loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us very, very much. And also, he is not an it, and he is not a force, right? Just because Star Wars just came out, I feel like I needed to kind of make that clarification, is that he is not an it, and he is not a force. He is the third person of the Trinity. He can also be lied to, or he is lied to in Acts 5 by Ananias and Sapphira. He is resisted in Acts 7. He speaks to the church in Acts 13 and in 1 Timothy 4, Revelations 2, 3. He taught the apostles in John 14. He led the apostle throughout the whole book of Philippians. And then more importantly is that he is God, right? He is God. And so in Hebrews 9, it says that he's eternal. He has no beginning yet without end. He is spoken of in Psalms 139 as omnipresent. He is spoken of in Luke 1 as the power of God, which means he's omnipotent. He is spoken of in 1 Corinthians 2, John 14, as omniscient. He knows all things. And three of my most favorite here is that creation is ascribed to him. Doesn't matter where you are in Scripture, whether it be from Genesis or throughout all of Scripture, creation is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. The authorship of Scripture is ascribed to the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 1. And in Romans 8, spiritual life to us is shown there in the work and person of the Holy Spirit. And so because only God can give us these gifts, and since he's the giver of all good gifts, again, I really felt that it was very important for us to know who we're talking about. We're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. The same way, right, where it's January 24th, so a month ago, right? Christmas is just wrapping up. Whenever I know that my aunt is going to give me a gift, I'm not that pumped about it, to be honest. I know she's either trying to pawn something off on me or she's trying to get rid of a gift. So whenever I see my name at the bottom in the bottom of the tree, I'm not really excited because I know it's going to be a pretty lame gift. Now, when my grandma gives me a gift, I'm not even going to say how many grandmas are here, but anyways, I love my grandma. I love her so much. And when I know that grandma's giving me something, my grandma is one of those like practical gifts people. So underwear, socks, undershirts, like she gives me like 20 or 30 of each of those things, like as a gift. And I love that because I've never ran out of those things. I'll run out of everything else, but I will never run out of underwear. Thank you, Jesus, for my grandmother. And so the same way you would be pumped if someone you know will give you a legit gift, how much more should you and I be excited to receive a gift from God himself? And so in verse 2, Paul gets wind of people claiming to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and words that were actually coming out of their mouths was actually something completely opposite as to what the Holy Spirit would actually say. And so let's look at what the text says in verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, so Paul is saying, now that you are done being carried away by those dumb idols, now that you're done with those things, Verse 3, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So here we see the message of the Holy Spirit. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord. Jesus said in two places, He will testify of me in John 15, talking about the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. In John 16, when the Holy Spirit descends, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, will make much of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit will always promote the lordship of Jesus in our lives. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit will always promote the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. Lordship is another way of saying he's the boss. He's going to call the shots. He's the one that's in charge of your life. He bought you. And so the Holy Spirit will always promote the lordship of Jesus in our lives. So anyone in here remember Mike Tyson? Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson? No? Raise your hand if you've never heard the word Mike Tyson. It's okay. We'll be praying for you guys. Iron Mike Tyson, I remember growing up seeing Mike Tyson, and the way he would knock out guys is, it was just so bad. You could almost, watching it on the television, you could almost feel the pain the other guy was in. But whenever you saw Mike Tyson, whether it be at a promotional event, whether you saw at a post-fight or pre-fight, I don't even know if that's a word, but I'm making it up. Whenever you'd see Mike Tyson, whether it be in public, whether in the media, who else was there? Anyone know who else was around? His promoter, Don King. Do you guys remember the guy that looked like the troll doll? Right, the troll doll with the purple hair? Yeah, that's Don King. And so Don King's job was to promote Mike Tyson. That was his job. Now, thank God that the Holy Spirit is no Don King, but like Don, the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of any gift will always promote the lordship of Jesus. He brings our attention to where it needs to be. He brings our attention on the cross and concerning and considering Jesus himself. And so let me make this a little bit more personal for you and me. So here on Sunday nights, we get a lot of props or praise for just having a welcoming atmosphere. On top of the good coffee, on top of the hospitality, on top of the service here. One thing that I always hear about us here tonight is that, or about just kind of the family that we're developing here, is that we're friendly people. We're nice people. And so you see, those gifts in and of themselves, if they stop there, they terminate on themselves. If our hospitality, if the way we interact with each other, if our fellowship isn't about promoting the lordship of Jesus in one another's lives, it really doesn't amount to much. And so as much as what the Lord is doing here, and I'm so excited about what he's doing, what he's going to continue to do, a message that immediately upon reading this text, I felt really heavy to share with not only those of the guys that are serving that have red lanyards, but for our family here, is that we are supposed to be about promoting the lordship of Jesus in each other's lives. Yes, we can be friendly. Yes, we can chop it up about 1,000 different things. But if it isn't about being in fellowship over the thing that draws us so close, closer than any relationship that we will ever have, it's nothing. It's nothing, because every Christian in here knows that this life, we only have this life and it ends. It's only what we do for the Lord is what's gonna last. And so I just felt really compelled to kind of share that with us as a family, that we are supposed to be about promoting the lordship of Jesus in each other's life. And so now that the message of the Holy Spirit has been addressed, now Paul gets into the methodology of the Holy Spirit in these next couple of verses. All methodology means is the procedures, the way things get done, the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit uses people to accomplish his work. And so in verse 4, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all and in all. If you have a pen or a pencil, I would underline or circle, highlight, whatever, tattoo if you want. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God. You see the Trinity in those three verses. I love the way the NIV puts it. The NIV puts it like this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And so, what is the methodology? What is the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit uses to accomplish his work? What do you guys think that is? His church, us, you. The methodology by which the Holy Spirit uses to carry out his work is by using you and using me. So if you're a Christian in here tonight, this text is talking about you directly. So don't you dare put my gift above the one that God has given you. Just because your gift isn't up front, just because it isn't about having a beautiful voice like Brendan, or it is about having here a teaching or a public gift, that doesn't mean that you don't have a gift or that your gift isn't of value to God. We're all a body, and as we're going to read on the text, later on in the text, we all need one another. We're part of the same body. So don't you dare be putting my gift above the one God has given you. And in my opinion, I think that he's given all of us, his believers, more than one gift. But just for the sake of commonality here, you have at least one gift that God's given you. And I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, God will illuminate to you what that gift is. But again, let's not forget about what the Christians were doing in Corinth, right? The Christians in Corinth were a bunch of self-righteous, prideful, divisive, sexual, immoral people. But if you read in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we see that they're an extremely gifted, they're a gifted group of people. Paul says that, man, you guys lack no spiritual gift. On top of not lacking any spiritual gift, that you guys eagerly await the return of Jesus. And so, I'll illustrate it this way. Any of you guys know my little big sister here? She's got red hair. She's not here tonight. But anyone know who I'm talking about? Brittany? Yeah, any of you guys know Brittany? She's awesome. Her and I have very similar general gifts. And it's kind of funny that we both bivocationally do the same thing. I'm a special education teacher, and she is a fourth grade teacher. And so the gifts that God has given us is the same, but it is carried out very, very differently. And it is kind of interesting that here within the Sunday night's ministry, we have very similar gifts, but we have very similar gifts like service, teaching, hospitality, but they play out in very different ways. For example, let's just say if I'm the vision caster on a projector screen, like imagine a projector screen showing a presentation or whatever, Brittany is the PowerPoint presentation of the projection, communicating in a very orderly manner what needs to get done. Both the same gifts, but both in actuality play out very differently. Does that make sense? So now notice the flow of the text here in this verse, because not only are we shown the message and methodology of the Holy Spirit, but we are now given the purpose of the expression of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives his people. And so I want us to read verse 7 together. 1, 2, 3. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That was terrible. We'll try that again. Let's read everyone, verse 7, chapter 12. 1, 2, 3. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For the profit of all. Right? So based on the context of where we're reading this, Paul realizes that the motives and heart behind these Corinthians wasn't for the profit of all. It was for the profit of self, for the profit of self-promotion. Hence why they're so divisive, why they had a lot of problems in the beginning parts of this chapter. And so guys, a good sign that the Holy Spirit is really behind any expression of any gift is that it will always build up the community of Christians into the image of Christ. I'll say that again. A good sign that the Holy Spirit is really behind any expression of spiritual gifts is that it will always build up the community of Christians into the image of Christ. And so, in other words, guys, before the Holy Spirit, you were all about yourself. Before God came into you, you were all about what's comfortable, what's best for you. What can be most comfortable for me? I'm looking out for me, and I'm looking out for me, and that's it. Doesn't matter who I have to trample over, I'm looking out for me. And unfortunately, even in the church, we choose our churches and we choose our relationships with people under that perspective. What can I get out of this person? What can this church do for me? If there's anything that I can say to us here tonight is that the Holy Spirit is giving you a gift so that you can play an active role in the furthering of the kingdom within your local church. And so if Refuge isn't your home church, I pray that you are doing that in your church. And if you're part of this church family, we're about that. If you guys were here this morning, especially coming on into the sermon series in February, our pastor, Bill, has such a heart to deploy us into the city and see in what ways can we serve not only the church, but what way can we serve our community. That's the purpose. That's the methodology by which the Holy Spirit carries out his business. Raise your hand. Has anyone in here seen Finding Nemo? Finding Nemo? I know the guys in here are judging me right now. Stop it. Don't judge me. Don't take that away from me. I love Finding Nemo. That's my stuff. So do you guys remember the seagulls in Finding Nemo? Right? What'd they say? Mine? 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 I teach kindergartners, man. You don't have to teach them that pronoun. You don't have to teach them that. They will say, mine. That's mine. They will fight, bite, punch each other for whatever they're fighting over. And again, not to belabor this point, if you're not a Christian in here tonight, that describes you. What is best for me? What can I get out of this relationship? Who do I need to trample over to get to where I need to go? In reality, you're God in your life. You can come to church two or three times a week. You can play the church role very well. But if you were to take an inventory of your life and to see who really dictates the shots in your life, it's you. And I love you. I love you very much. That's why I'm saying this. You make a crummy God. You make a very, very crummy God. And so for those of you guys in here that haven't made that decision for Christ, just know that. You're going to be able to confidently say that you know better than the God of the universe. You know more than the God of the universe who did so much for you. And also, unfortunately, is that there are many Christians that live life that way. Like I mentioned before, we go on choosing churches under this perspective, on what can I get out of this church? Not how can I play a role into the furthering of the kingdom within my local church context. You see, guys, the gospel transforms the way we think. It's no longer my will be done, but instead your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that when they see our light shine before others, that they see our good deeds, they're going to glorify our Father who is in heaven. When they look at our lives, they're going to be like, man, there is something different about this guy. Guys, the gospel kicks you out of the driver's seat and you beat your drum to God's beat. You display your gifts for the promotion of the Lordship of Jesus in your life and for the building up of others in our community into the image of Christ. Amen. 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 So since Paul has laid this foundation of the message, methodology by which the Holy Spirit operates, lastly, he touches on the purpose for the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. So in verses 8 through, I believe, 12, he lists off 9 different manifestations of the Spirit. These gifts are given to different individuals, but they are all, and I want us to hear, to pay attention to this, they are all given to us, but they are gifts given to different individuals, but they are all sovereignly distributed, originated, and produced by God the Holy Spirit himself. Because I only have time to list these gifts for you guys, I can't get really into depth. I have 8 minutes left. I'm just going to list these gifts off for you and then give you what they essentially mean. And so, and then at the end of this, I'm going to give you guys a very practical, a positive example on how one of these gifts mentioned below to show us in a very practical way how the message, the methodology, and purpose of God is accomplished through his people. So I'm going to list the gifts now, and then I'm going to give us a positive example at the end of a manifestation of a gift listed here. So verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit," that's wise counsel, that's if you just have, whether it be through experience or through biblical knowledge that you're able to apply truth into your life, that's called wisdom. "To another, a word of knowledge through the same Spirit," that you just have a clear understanding of what's going on, whether it be in a spiritual or secular realm. "To another, faith by the same Spirit," that just simply means you just trust. You have a crazy way of trusting God. You just simply take God at his word and you trust him. "To another, gift of healings of the same Spirit," you have a gift of just healing the sick. "To another, working of miracles," you just partake in miraculous acts, like things just miraculously happen. "To another, prophecy," that means that you just proclaim on behalf of the Lord. "To another, discerning of spirits," that's just you being able to distinguish between a sketchy person and like a bright on person, a sketchy spirit to a good spirit. "And to a different, and to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues." So all tongues is, from what we know biblically, is it's just an utterance of an overflow of worship of King Jesus. And so when that utterance is said in public, there needs to be, in order for it to be biblically ordained, there needs to be an interpretation of that gift. So if someone goes off and starts saying funky stuff and there's no interpretation of it, we pray and talk to that person afterwards. But when there is a utterance of that along with an interpretation and it goes along and it does not contradict his word, it's a gift you have, it's a gift of tongues being manifested at that time. And so I was able to find a simple yet profound example of this spiritual gift of faith accomplishing the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to see not only the message, the purpose, but the methodology of how a gift, this guy's gift of faith, and how that is a blessing to a lot of us, as it was to me when I first read it. And so this is said of George Mueller. Often and appropriately, the 19th century George Mueller of Bristol, England, is cited as a person who manifested this ministry, the ministry of faith. Mueller founded a large orphanage where he fed and housed, otherwise cared for, over 2,000 orphans with no guaranteed income from any source. He trusted God daily for the milk, food, and funds to care for the children. Mrs. Charles Cowan wrote the following revealing story about Mr. Mueller. "I went to America some years ago with the captain of a steamer, who is a very devoted Christian. When off of the coast of Newfoundland, he said to me, 'The last time I crossed here 5 weeks ago, something happened which revolutionized my whole Christian life. We had George Mueller of Bristol on board. I had been on the bridge 24 hours and never left it. George Mueller came to me and said, 'Captain, I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec Saturday afternoon.' 'It is impossible,' I said. 'Very well, if your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way.' I have never broken an engagement for 57 years. Let us go down to the chart room and pray. I looked at that man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum can that man have come from? I've never heard of such a thing as this. Mr. Mueller, I said, do you know how dense this fog is? No, he replied. My eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life. He knelt down and prayed one of the most simple prayers. And when he had finished, I was going to pray, but then he put his hand on my shoulder and said, don't pray. First, you do not believe he will answer. And second, I believe he has. And there's no need for whatever you need to pray about. I looked at him and he said, Captain, I've known my Lord for 57 years, and there has never been a single day that I have failed to get an audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will find the fog gone. I got up, and the fog was indeed gone. On Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec for his engagement. That's the sort of gift. Wasn't that encouraging to all of us? That was a man, that was the gift of faith manifested in man's life that communed with him. And so if any of these gifts listed here and you are in some way, shape, or form, encounter any of these gifts, the same way what we just all experienced by reading this man's account is the same way we should all encounter or filter any of these manifestations of these gifts. And now let's look at what verse 11 says. But one of the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And so to put it plainly, God decides when and where he's going to decide to flex. God is the one that determines, the Holy Spirit is the one that determines the time and place of when those gifts happen. And in verse 12, it says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so guys, we have all independently, before the Lord, we were the ones that, our thought process was, what I do only affects me, and that's it. What this text is telling us is that you have now entered a family. If you're in Christ, you have a family. You have a brother, you have a sister, you have a family. And do you guys remember the two questions I introed with? Can someone give me those two questions? For those of you guys that are still awake. Two questions? Then remember the, what's the big deal of spiritual gifts? And what does this text tell me about God? So first, what's the big deal of spiritual gifts? You have one. You have a spiritual gift. And not only do you have a gift, but you have a mission. It's kind of cheesy, but it rhymes. It's called the Great Commission. And one thing that is always said, and Bill stressed that very, very powerfully here this morning, is that it isn't a suggestion. If you're a Christian, there's no such thing as a sitting on the bench Christian. I mean, if the job description that I gave you in the beginning, if you're not about that work, about the work of furthering the kingdom of God because God himself has transformed you, there's something wrong. So what's the big deal about gifts is that God has given you a gift and he's given us a mission to use those gifts to further that mission. Now, secondly, what does this text tell us about God? So like the scripture that I ended with, in other words, that text talks about us being part of Christ. Christ being the head of his church, We are now members of that body. And he is an extremely relational God. And so even though we were born at odds with him, all of us here were born alienated from God. And so despite that, he made a way for us to be right with him through Jesus. And so as the worship team comes up, I kind of wanted to make that distinction to you guys, is that he has made a way for you to come to him. If you haven't surrendered your life to him, like I mentioned to you, you're God. You can call yourself whatever you want, but really, you're your own God. You're the one calling the shots, and it's a scary thing to think of yourself. Scary to think of myself in charge. Think about how I think being in charge of a ministry. Scary. I think about being in charge of your own life and the life of your family. He's an extremely relational God, and he has made a way for you to respond to him. And so do you guys remember the way how I mentioned how the literary structure plays into what I'm about to talk about? How chapters 7 through 16 have to say something about the Corinthians? You guys remember that part? So the reason why the Corinthians before had written a letter to Paul was because they knew there was something wrong. The Corinthians knew that there was something wrong with the way these gifts were happening, is that they called on their spiritual father, Paul, to say, hey, Paul, can you write to us about this? I don't know what's going on. We could so easily look at the Corinthian church and say, man, you don't want to emulate the Corinthian church. But in this sense, we should. They knew that they were wrong, but yet they sought direction from God. They sought direction from their spiritual leader. And so my hope and prayer for us tonight is that where are we lacking? Where are we lacking to focus on the grace that God has given us, has lavished us so much that in response to that, we are now able to further the work of his kingdom? If something is not connecting in that statement, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, he shows you where that is. Whether it be selfish desires, whether it be your career, whether it be money, a relationship that you're currently in, what is getting in the way of you being used by the Holy Spirit? And so as we respond and we sing this song, my hope, if you have any questions about what I've said tonight, any questions about this great faith, this great salvation that's been given to us, I would love to speak with you. And for those of us that are already in Christ, I pray, like the Corinthians, that we cry out, where are we messing it up? Where are we getting it wrong? And so, Father, we only know that it is something that you can do. Lord, some of us are in different stages of our sanctification, and some of us, Lord, some of us in here don't even know you. Lord, you've saved us. You've done so much for us, Lord, but you want us to daily commune with you, Lord. And so, Lord, if it's apathy, if it's laziness, Father, that our motives be from a place of grace, that grace is the thing that motivates us to do what you've called us to do, Lord. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything. In and of ourselves, we can't do anything, Lord. And so I just ask, Holy Spirit, can you show us? Holy Spirit, can you show us our gifts? Lord, and how we can steward those gifts to further your work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you not only give us a great commission, Lord, but you give us that promise that you're always going to be there for us. And so we know that you're not going to let us down. So, Father, thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you so much for saving us. We need you desperately. Help us now, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Love you guys.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.